Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 1971 alumna is taking a chance at a different career path and is here to tell us that you're never too old to try something new. Ladies and gentlemen, an alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Evelyn Wallace Spagnolo to the show. Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. A wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. We're so thankful to have you on the show, too. Now, Evelyn, let's just jump right into it. I know so many people want to know when they tune into this podcast. What have you been up to since you graduated from Misericordia?
Well, it's been a number of years since I was on campus at Misericordia. And after I graduated in 1971, I got married. Actually married my high school sweetheart. While I was a student at Misericordia, he was a student at King's College in Wilkes-Barre. And so we got married in July. We graduated both in May, and then we got married in July. He got a position at in New Jersey. So we moved to New Jersey. We left. We both lived in outside of Wilkes-Barre in Plains Township, and we moved to New Jersey. I always say the land of opportunity, New Jersey. And he began his job, and I started working just a small part-time job at that point. And then we started our family. We had a little girl the following year, and then we had another little girl a couple years later, and so I was a stay-at-home mom.
You got lucky, didn't you?
Yes, that was a wonderful opportunity. I was very grateful that I was able to do that and raise my two daughters, and stay at home. It was a wonderful opportunity. So then, when my two daughters started school, I actually started going back to teaching. I graduated with a degree in business education, prepared me to be a teacher. And so when I was home, I was a teacher to my two children, to my two daughters. And then when they went off to school full-time, then I went back to teaching. And I just basically did substitute teaching. I still wanted to be available for my children. For a couple of years, I did teaching in the local high school, and that was a great opportunity to get my feet into the door into teaching. So then, my husband got a transfer from New Jersey to Illinois, when we moved to Illinois, I didn't do any teaching right away. Kind of got settled in and got my kids, my daughters settled into school and stuff. And then probably about a year later, I did go into teaching. And I just started out really small. I did tutoring, and then I did some homebound teaching. That was a really good experience. And so I used, I was using my teaching and my training from Misericordia in that way I started out. And then just continued in teaching, did different things, worked at a couple of high schools in the area. We moved to Wheaton, Illinois. It's about 30 miles west of Chicago, a really nice suburb, a great place to raise children. But we were far away from family. We had no family around us, and that was kind of hard to just kind of move away from my hometown and all the family that I had in the area in Pennsylvania. But it was okay. We were on an adventure, my husband and I and my two daughters. And we still live in Wheaton to this day. My two daughters are grown and married and now and have their own families. And they live about a mile from us in Wheaton. So, and my one daughter is a teacher. Currently the older daughter, and she's a first grade teacher. And so I feel good about that too, that I sort of maybe modeled some of that for her being a teacher. And so then after my teaching career kind of evolved, I did several years of this homebound teaching, which was a wonderful experience. I just brought a lot of The education to these students one-on-one who weren't able to go to school. They had to provide education. The school district had to provide education for these students while they were homebound with different illnesses and, situations that they couldn't go to school. And so I really enjoyed that type of atmosphere for teaching. It was really a real personal one-on-one thing with these students, and I felt like I was really bringing some normalcy, to their lives, because they couldn't go to classrooms and be with their friends and whatever. So mm-hmm. It was a really, enriching time for me as a teacher, and I felt like I was, bringing something good to these students. So I did that, and then my last couple of years of teaching before I retired, I was the director of the internship program at our local high school here in Wheaton. And that was a really enriching experience for me as well as a teacher. I was helping these students try to learn what kind of career direction they wanted to go in, and so I did that for 3 years, and that too was really it was a unique kind of a teaching experience, but it was really rewarding for me as a teacher, and I really again felt like I was helping these students learn some real life experiences, explore careers, different careers. I would place them in different businesses or in schools or in hospitals or in doctor's offices, and then they learned, whether or not they would like that career or not. And some of them did, some of them didn't. But it was a really, again, it was another interesting experience as a teacher for me. So then I retired from teaching, and I started to work at a local community college. And while I was there, I was started to take classes, and something that and I guess this is the reason why I wanted to talk about this was that sometimes you never know where life your life's path is going to take you as far as a career. So I always was interested in design and interior design and that kind of thing. And while I was working at the college, I took one class. I took one interior design class. And the department at this particular community college has an excellent interior design program. It's like very well known in the area, and it has a lot of high esteem in the area. And so I took the one class, and I loved it. I fell in love with design. It was a drafting class where we had to, do actual hand drafting of rooms and designs and that kind of thing. And so I was on my way, I took one class at a time because I was working full time and still had a family at home to take care of and whatever. And so I just took one class a semester. I started in. Actually, in 2005 was my first class, and took one class at a time. Sometimes I had to take time off. My parents lived in Pennsylvania, and they got sickly, and so I had to take some time off from school to travel back and forth to, help out with them and stuff. And then I had some other illnesses and things, and so it was a slow journey, basically. It was a slow journey. Well, I finally finished. I am actually going to be getting my degree in interior design. The commencement is canceled, but, I will get my degree. I will get a diploma in interior design. I just have really enjoyed doing that. After I left teaching and after I left working at the college, I started looking around for another job. I needed to have another job, and so I started looking for design positions. And I was hired by a wonderful lady who took a chance on an older person like me. I was 60. I was actually 64 years old at that point. And I went into, I took a position. She offered me a position as an assistant interior design. Designer at Lazy Boy Furniture store here a local store here, and I knew that I was where I was supposed to be. It was exciting. It was fun. It was interesting. It gave me a chance to, you know, just do some creative work that I didn't realize I had those kinds of talents in me. And so it was really a wonderful experience. It started me off on a new journey in a career path that I never would have dreamed of when I was at College of Misericordia. I kind of took the, and where I was at in my life, I took kind of the traditional path of being a teacher. You know, women were kind of, there were certain, at least that's where I came from, you know, there were certain career paths that, you know, women took, nurses and teachers, and plus I wanted to be, I wanted to be available for my children, like in the summers or, you know, days off when they were home. So, you know, being a mother and being a teacher kind of went together for me, and it was a good career path. But there was always this, talent in me or this yearning in me to do this kind of creative design work. And so the opportunity came, and, later in my life, but, you know, I always kind of feel as if it's never too late. It's never too late for that. So that's kind of been my path. I'm currently, after I left the Lazy Boy Furniture Store as a design assistant, I moved on to a full-time position at Home Depot. My local Home Depot store here hired me as a full-time kitchen and bath designer. So I've been doing that, and I'm currently doing that now. So that's kind of my path since I was at Misericordia. And so that's basically my story.
Yeah. No, it's certainly, first of all, congratulations on going to receive your degree your interior design. And, you know, I think what we can learn from this experience, you know, when you were talking to me beforehand, before we got on the podcast, you were talking about, you know, receiving your degree at age, and I won't mention the age just because you never tell a lady's age by any chance whatsoever. But, you know, I certainly saw it, and I was certainly impressed. But it's also a big teaching moment to any alumni, but specifically our young alumni. It's never too late to change what you're working for or what your career path is. And I certainly, for at least my perspective, you know, previously I wanted to work in news for a little bit, but I just found out through an internship program that it just wasn't for me. And now I'm working at higher education in our alumni relations department, and it's been the best flip of my entire life. But certainly can attest to the fact that, you know, you can never doubt yourself in saying, oh, well, I'm this age, I'm not going to be able to do it. You're a prime example as far as how you can do it and what you can do it. So I have to commend you with the fact of that whole, you know, thing that we've been saying. It's not too late to change what you want to do.
Yep, exactly. And that's really what I wanted to, you know, why I contacted you, and that, and why I wanted to just give that message to younger people and to anybody at any age. You know, it is never too late. You know, I am not even really thinking about, you know, stopping at this point. In fact, once I get my degree, or as I'm getting my degree, I'm planning on just working independently and taking on clients and just kind of establishing my own business, maybe in a way, or my own service on my own.
Sure.
Apart from, you know, working for a company. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, Evelyn, I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit, and it's more of kind of a, I don't want to call them fast fire questions, but my family actually recently moved into a home at the winter of 2017, and they had to work with a bunch of design things. Do you have a design, I guess, it's almost like a design style. Like, do you have a favorite design style that you like working with? Like, let's say I gave you an open house with no dimensions. Tell me what you want to put in that house if it's your house that you're going to have.
Well, you know, my philosophy, I guess, of design or whatever is that I want a home to be warm and welcoming and comfortable and safe. And so whatever that means to it's such an individual thing. You know, my approach to working with people is collaboratively.
Sure.
You know, I will give you ideas, but what would you like to see in your home? You're going to be living in your home. You know, you're going to be seeing, you know, the insides of it every day. You know, I can give you what's trending. I can tell you what's trending, you know. And that changes, too. You know, I think that's the exciting thing about, you know, interior design is that it's always changing. You know, there's always something new. The colors change, the styles change. And so, you know, what do you feel comfortable in? You know, and so that's kind of how I work with people. And, you know, I'm a team approach person, you know, in my current jobs, and even, you know, with teaching, I would approach people with a team attitude. You know, what are we going to do? You know, if it was with the student or with, you know, my coworkers or whatever, you know, how are we going to work together? And so I guess I don't really have a particular style. My own home is sort of an eclectic style. my home is my practice place. You
yeah.
know, I'm always kind of changing things and, you know, adding things and you know, moving things around and that kind of thing. But whatever I do, it always has to feel comfortable and pretty, you know, and pretty too, you know. I like that. And so, you know, things now are trending now is I was just reading, and I always try to keep up on you know, reading about what's trending and
yeah,
that
was,
kind of stuff. And now
I was just going to ask you that, like, what's the current trend right now, currently?
Current trend, lately it's been, you know, again, the way I feel, making things warm and homey. The colors are become softer. For a while there, we were into grays and you know, metals and sort of a little bit harsher, to me, harsher colors and trends. But now it's moving into softer. You know, the colors are going to be softer. The metals and accessories and pictures and that kind of things are moving into a warmer feel. Around the home, so that's which is more of what I prefer anyway. So that's how my home is. So yeah.
Sure. No, I certainly can see that as far as the trend. I mean, I have not owned a home yet, and I have not gone into the whole diving into the whole interior design aspect of it. But I mean, I know with certainly making your own place a home is certainly something that I think everyone can agree upon. And like you said best, you're going to see those walls and you're going to see those rooms every single day for the rest of your life as far as you stay in that house or home or apartment. So I
right,
can certainly
right.
get that that feel of it
right.
of that. So Evelyn, have you worked on any projects that certainly, I mean, you don't have to go into too much detail, but any certain projects that you felt that it was a successful project, like any unique projects that you've worked on with clients or any independent clients?
I had a friend of mine some years ago, and she wanted to spruce up her home. She lived in a townhome, and she was so excited to do this, and she really, I don't know, I guess she really took the bull by the horns, and she did a lot of her own research, and then we kind of collaborated, and she went from a really drab-looking townhome to this, like something out of a magazine. It was really a pleasure to work with her, and she was mainly because she was so excited and enthusiastic about doing this, you know. And that's what I appreciate when I work with someone, is that you know, they get so excited and they want to be involved in all of this, you know. And that's when I kind of step back, you know, and I just let people kind of, in a way, do their own thing, because, like I said before, you know, they're going to be living in this and they're going to be enjoying it. So, so that was a really fun project. And unfortunately, a couple of years later, she was a dear friend of mine, and she contracted cancer, and she passed away a couple of years later. But I think of her often, and I think of that project, and it was such a pleasure and such a wonderful opportunity for me to help create this with her and give her so much pleasure. And that's really, that to me is when I know it's been a success in a way, you know, that if the person leaves me or I leave the person and they have this sense of, wow, you know, look at what we created, look at what I created, look at what we created together, you know, and that to me is the best part of what I would be doing or what I'm doing now. So
sure, you almost kind of had that light bulb go off as far as, you know, that you did a successful job, and more or less you're kind of the guidance and the individual who steer the individual to what they want to work with within their home or their apartment or anything like that. And that kind of, you know, I your career path, you may say that has changed. It's very similar to when you were director of the internship program. You used to guide these students into being able to figure out what they like, what they don't like. And you're not necessarily the person that's there to say, no, you have to do this. Like, you're right. The person that's giving them the opportunity to do so. So I like to say that you never, ever leave any piece of passion or career path, because it always ends up somehow, some way back into your current job or current pathway into your career. So I certainly see the correlation between those two. But Evelyn, I know we're digging a little bit deeper here, but you know, when we always talk about our alumni, we always got to go back to our roots, which is always our Misericordia experience. Tell me how Misericordia has helped you get to where you are today, even if it's a career path change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was thinking about this since you sent me that question, Mike, and so I was kind of reminiscing, you know, about my time at Misericordia, and you know, I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm a lifelong Catholic. I still practice my Catholic religion. I went to, with the exception of 1 year in public school, I went to Catholic school all of my education career, my education path, grade school, high school, and of course college at Misericordia, and I was, when I was there, I think that at Misericordia, I really felt like that was just opened up a whole different door for me as far as just broadening my life in many ways, but even spiritually, you know, it was my anchor. You know, I always felt like when I was in Catholic schools, there was always an anchor for me there, and so at Misericordia, that certainly continued. But it even broadened, because I grew up in a small town, went to all these small schools, but when I got to Misericordia, that just broadened my exposure to, you know, other people, to you know, nuns that I had a couple of nuns that were, you know, my teachers, and just even seeing these nuns, and because I had nuns, you know, all my schooling, they just even broadened my understanding of of people who are walk a spiritual path, and I appreciated being able to go to Mass while I was on campus, and just, I don't know, having a hard time explaining it, but it's like my time at Misericordia gave me so much of a broader outlook on everything, really, on everything, you know, on myself, on you know, my teachers, my professors, my fellow students, you know, because I met people from, you know, from different states and, you know, different walks of life, and so coming from a small town, kind of in a, you know, growing up in a sheltered kind of a atmosphere, that I think was the most exciting thing that I realized at Misericordia, was that it just opened up a whole new world for me, really, with interesting people. And I always loved school, and I always loved learning, and My dad was, he's passed now, but he was my inspiration of learning. He always had a thirst for learning, and he would always read, and so he was my model for me. And he encouraged me to go to college, and he even God bless him, he even paid for my college education. I was working part time, but that certainly didn't pay anything. So I came out of Misericordia with no school loans or no debt or anything. But that was his gift to me, because he loved education, and he was so proud of the fact that I went to college and that I had this love of learning just like he did. And so so that and then my spiritual journey there as well. I think I got a lot from that, from Misericordia as well. Continuing, to be able to practice my religion, my Catholic faith, on campus, and just some of the activities that went on there. It just really strengthened and continued my Catholic faith, and I have that to this day. I love the fact that it's Holy Week this week, and that we're talking is to me such a special time. Even though I can't go to church or can't practice with others, but it just really has given me and continues to give me a strong faith in God and God leading my life and being a large part of my life. So
I think it's amazing how that the things that you've said, that you're able to build your spiritual connection but also broaden your sense of surrounding more than just what you've dealt with at home and locally. I mean, you being able to open up to abroad, I like to say you're not the first, nor you will be the last individual that has said it, because I've had the wonderful opportunity of speaking with some of our alums, whether they were from the 40s or recent alums that just graduated in 2019. And a lot of things that you said is very relevant, and still today it's very relevant as far as being able to do it, whether it's a service trip that the students can go on or being a part of any ministry that campus ministry offers, or just simply being able to work together with people from different cultures and different backgrounds and different states, like you said, to be able to build that sense of openness and, just relevance, as far as that there's much more than just what you have going on in your little world, because there's a much bigger world out there itself.
Right, exactly. And that sense of service, too. I think that was, really brought home to me when I was at Misericordia, is this what you just said, it's not your little world. You give mm-hmm. back. And that's what I received there, and that's what I'm sure I was encouraged, to take that and go with it out into the world as well and be of service to others. And that really is a big part of my life. I've served my family, my children. I continue to do that even with my adult children, and I have three grandchildren now, they're older, they're teenagers, and 10 years old. And so I always have that attitude of service to them, to my students when I was a teacher, now to my clients, in designing, to my husband. I'm still married to the same man. It'll be 50 years next year.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So, I feel like I did receive a lot of that from being a student at Misericordia back then. So, that attitude of service is certainly has stayed with me over these years. So, yep.
Absolutely. Now, conveniently, you kind of gave me a nice segue. You said that you and your husband will be celebrating 50 years of marriage. Evelyn, I know that next year will be your 50th anniversary being a part of the class of 1971. So congratulations. I'm going to give you an early congratulations already, but talking about, with your class? Have you been in touch with any of your classmates? I know it's during this time of this current situation that we have going on, they've been doing Zoom meetings and Skypes and FaceTime calls and all that. But have you been able to stay in any touch with any of your classmates?
Well, I'll tell you, I have one of my classmates that I became friends with her, close friends with her, second year that I was at Misericordia. And we have actually stayed in touch over the years. I'm a godmother to her younger daughter. She lives now in New Hampshire, but I've been able to visit with her, and she has come out here to visit me in Illinois a few times. And I'm actually planning a trip for my birthday this year. I decided I wanted to take a girls' trip, and so I'm going to the East Coast with my two daughters, and we're going to also visit my friend in New Hampshire while we're on the East Coast. And so she's really the only one. I had one other friend who just exchanged Christmas cards with, but she was in my department when we were students there. But not really. I just kind of keep in touch, read the newsletters and that kind of thing. But no, unfortunately, I've kind of drifted away from that. Yeah,
that's okay. And you know, there's always the opportunity for, you know, any reconnection. But I know that you have your big trip coming up on the East Coast. So I'm hoping that somewhere, some way, maybe after this podcast, you could probably think to yourself, you know what? Maybe we should stop by Dallas, Pennsylvania to go back to Misericordia for a quick trip just to see how the campus has changed. But Evelyn,
well,
go ahead.
You know, Mike, I do. I go back there. My parents are actually buried in the cemetery right in behind Misericordia. St. Mary's Cemetery is right behind the sports building.
Sure.
And so I actually was back there in December visiting. I have a sister and two brothers that still live in our hometown in Plains and in Wilkes-Barre. And so I have driven many times. I go under the arch. I drive around the campus. Sometimes I get out. I was amazed this time when I was back there in December how much new construction is on there now, and I'm so excited that it's, you know, it's expanding. And my nephew is actually an alum of he got a degree in nurse practitioner degree a couple of years ago, and so he and I kind of talk about the campus and about the college and, you know, his experiences there. So I feel like I still do, you know, I still have the connection there, even though it's been many years. But it always warms my heart, you know, when I drive past one of the buildings, I think, oh, I remember my biology class. I forget the teacher's name, I forget the professor's name, but, you know, it was just it just always brings back a lot of good memories. So I'm glad that I still, you know, have an opportunity to be near, you know, near the campus and get to see it from time to time and see how it's growing. So
sure. Well, thank you so much, Evelyn, for joining us today. And, you know, we hope to see you at your reunion alumni weekend next year.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and to just kind of go back, take a walk down memory lane. So thank you.